Whether you're in your smart car avoiding Hummers or you're in your house avoiding the J-Dubs, there's no avoiding us, the Drew Marshall Show, live through our website and right here on Joy 1250. Move yourself. You always live your life, never thinking
of the future. Prove yourself. Well, folks, Travis Laughlin is a world traveler, adventurer, offshore powerboat racer, Bering Sea Crab fisherman, and TV personality. For over 12 years, he's cooked in some of the world's roughest waters and caught some of the freshest seafood on the globe. He's always on the lookout for his next big adventure. And one of his next big adventures is this book I've got in my hands, which is finally, can I just say, like, I'm not Mr. Cookie Pants, okay? I don't, Cookie Pants, what is that?
You were just telling me the other day about how you create hockey pucks with chicken breasts.
I overcook chicken because I'm terrified of salmonella. I'd rather suck on cotton.
Really?
Right, just dry it right out. I don't want to get salmon. I had it once. I never want that again.
Really?
Anyway, dude's got this cookbook out. It's called A Cookbook for Landlubbers. Dangerous Tales and Manly Recipes from the Bering Sea. Catch is the name of this book, and it's by this gentleman, Mr. Travis Laughlin. Deckhand on the Deadliest Catch. Dude, a cookbook? Now, come on. The guys in the boat have got to be ribbing you about that.
Oh, yeah, there's a little bit of ribbing going on, but, you know, we're all boat cooks, and what makes my cookbook fun is the fact that my little brother's a cordon bleu chef. And so if you read through the book, the whole concept of the book is two brothers, one that he makes his living cooking food with the best, freshest ingredients, and you got another brother that's a boat cook, and, well, I have the freshest of seafood, and we come together and break bread as a family. These are our recipes, and, you know, my sister took a lot of the images, I took the images. It was a whole family project, and you know, it wasn't just one of those celebrity cookbooks or whatever where somebody just sends it off and, you know, suddenly you got a book. This is an actual family project. It's been a lot of fun.
Fantastic. Well, this one will stay in my house. Can I be honest? Normally when I get books given to me, I sent like 15 books a week. I give them away. I'm keeping this book. Okay? Just saying.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much. And you know something, you follow the instructions there. Everything's pretty easy. You know, you won't have hockey pucks for burgers. And if you don't like salmon... Well, our reckless red salmon, I don't like salmon, but this is the only way I like it, and that's why it's in the book. Check it out. You just might find yourself liking salmon.
All right, so 14 years you've been fishing. Is that about right?
Yeah, I made my first trip to Southeast Alaska in the summer of 98, and then I made my first trip to the Bering Sea crab fishing January of 99 with Monty Colburn, who is Keith Colburn, Captain of the Wizard. It's his younger brother.
What was Plan B? Like, if you weren't a fisherman right now, what was the next move? If fishing, kind of didn't work out.
Well, it's kind of funny because I just got off my second day of flight training today. I bought myself a little airplane and I'm getting my private pilot's license. And well, 38 years old. I don't know if you follow the show or not, but this year I spent 3 minutes in the water in hypothermia, and it kind of got me thinking. So I'm going back to square one, and that's being a pilot.
Excellent. Okay, so you have to pick one of these. Only one of these you can do the rest of your life, okay? Fly, race, or shoot? Pick one.
Shoot me in the head because I don't think I could. I don't want to do any of them.
I know. I knew those three things. I mean, that's living life right there, dude. Flying, racing, shooting. I mean, how can you still be... maybe you're not. Are you still single?
Roger, that has a lot to do with my lifestyle, but you know something, when I look back, I don't want to have a regret, and I love living an adventurous lifestyle, and you know, life, it's no dress rehearsal, you get one shot. And, well, the bucket list, I've found myself just knocking them off as I go, and there's no complaints.
Okay, so you dislocated the ribs, spent 3 minutes in the water, hypothermia, how did that go down?
We were tying up the boat, and, I was just, you know, jumping over the dock like I've done a million times before. I slipped on the ice and landed on a piece of steel that they had embedded in the concrete to crane the pilings in, which was 3/4 inch by about 4 inches high. That dislocated the ribs, hit the water, and had to hide behind the piling as the boat touched the piling. And boat's, you know, over 600,000 pounds. That would have, you know, pushed me. I would have been dead real quick. You know, and it was just one of those deals that, you know, I dive, I scuba dive, I do all this crazy stuff, and one thing I've always learned, even in the military, is, you know, you never freak out. So I just kind of hung out and watched all my buddies react as quickly as they could and get me out, and, you know, it was a pretty humbling moment in my life. My first time out in 99, I had a deck boss that went over, and we never recovered him.
Wow.
And so to have the tides turn, you know, I just thank God that I wasn't out at sea in 15-foot seas, and that I was given a different opportunity than a friend of mine.
So, I mean, what's the closest you've actually come to having to launch the EPIRB?
know, this year we had, I don't know if it's going to make the show. Actually, I can't talk about it.
Okay, then, moving on.
Hit the brakes, Trav.
That was good because I couldn't imagine that. I've watched some of your interviews and you know you're a pretty quick talker, and for you to put on the brakes like that was well done, Travis. That was good. Well done.
Well, you know, sometimes I gotta think about it, and I had to remember where we're at in the season and the stories they're telling. So you know, there's a lot that happens out there, but you know, you get ice and you get stability issues, and you're really honestly truly at, you know, anything's gonna happen at any time.
Yeah.
And that's the scary thing about the job. Yeah, you know, you get big waves. Sometimes, you know, things happen. You build ice, and it's stability issues. The boat will take a big roll. You know, rogue waves. Shoot, I've been on deck. I used to watch the intro last year. They changed it up this year. I think they did it because they didn't want to beat me up every Tuesday night. But I could see three or four waves where, you know, we're just getting demolished on deck. And every time I see them, I just remember how much they hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, see, okay, so here's the deal, right? I mean, what you do is nuts. And you're always involved in crazy, whether it's the powerboat racing or, you know, scuba diving or, I don't know, flying, whatever. Is everyone in your family a little off bubble?
That's funny. They say my little brother's crazier than I am, but he's, you know, everybody's kind of settled down and have their families, you know. I've always been kind of the black sheep in my family, and everybody knows that I'm chasing my dreams. So my family for the longest time kind of questioned what I was doing, and now that they see everything coming full circle and everything in my life is happening for a positive reason and I'm getting involved, and everybody's happy. You know, they see me chasing my dreams, and they see me buying a plane and doing all these things that I've always wanted to do, and they're extremely supportive. But yeah, I'm definitely kind of the one that's doing it my own way.
Okay. Now, you know, from what I've watched, and I'm not a faithful fan of Deadliest Catch. Tim is my assistant here, Tim the Tool. He's watched it a bunch, and I've talked. Listen, every time I brought it up this week, everybody says, oh, yeah, I love that show. Oh, yeah, I love that show. You know, out on the boat with the boys, you know, being the man's man and doing the crazy stuff, and, you know, there's a lot of beeping and bleeping you know, what kind of family did you grow up in? Was it a sort of, because I don't know you that well, dude. I mean, did you grow up in kind of a hard, you know, tough-nosed, blue-collar family, or did you grow up with a bunch of hoity-toities?
No, I grew up with a single mom in dairy country in northwest Washington. Actually, I grew up stone's throw away from Vancouver. I was a little border town in northwest Washington, Linden, and, you know, raised with a single mom in a small town. You know, a lot of churches, a lot of Christianity, a lot of, you know, grassroots. And I learned at an early age. I had my first job in sixth grade, bucking hay, you know, pulling weeds, doing whatever it took to get a job. So I grew up, you know, with a job, had to buy everything my whole way. And so, you know, from a young age, my mom, I think growing up in that small town instilled me with some really good qualities. And, you know, small towns are a lot different than growing up in a metropolitan area. I think it really helped develop the person that I am today. You know how to work. You just set your nose to the grindstone, and you just do it.
Okay, so look, obviously Thomas Nelson's put this book out, and so when they send me a pitch, I go, oh, okay, there must be a God story behind this guy. You know, I don't know if you know much about me, but I'm not your average bear when it comes to the Jesus scene. Some people are questioning whether I really am a Jesus guy or not. I'm not very smooth. I'm not very polished. I'm a little rough around the edges. What's your God story, man?
I'd say I'm probably a little more close to the way you are. You know, I've always questioned everything and whatever, and I guess that's part of what everything is. You know, I like to question it all. Why not? I see wonderful, great people in different countries and different cultures that they may have grown up and their God may have been a tree. What's to say that, you know, they're not entitled to go to heaven, too? And the Ten Commandments, I'm a firm believer. I'm a firm believer in karma and treat people the way you want to be treated. You know, God's a forgiving man, and, well, we're all his children. So that's kind of where I stand. I don't really classify myself as much of anything other than somebody that tries to do the right thing and, you know, live life the way the big guy would want me to. And, well, I'll see you when it's all over, and thank you very much.
You're hilarious. So did you grow up going to church and all that stuff? Like, did your mom drag you out to church or not?
Oh, yeah, no. Youth group on Wednesday nights, church on Sundays, you know, the whole deal. And life is just, you know, obviously as we grow up, we change and views change. And, you know, but it's a great town. It was a great way to grow up. And, you know, and I have no regrets. I think as far as religion. I don't classify myself as anything other than, you know, spiritual. And, you know, I had a good upbringing through Christianity.
Yeah. But when you're out there and you're facing the wrath of nature, I mean, I don't want to make it more melodramatic than it. Well, it is. It's crazy, dude. The footage is insane. Okay, so you're out there and you are facing the wrath of nature. Do you ever? Well, seriously. First of all, I'd be blowing chunks all over the place. I get motion sick in a go kart. So you know, boat does me in a heartbeat. But do you ever? Is there any kind of God moments do you have? Because I would imagine it's kind of like that scene out of Forrest Gump where Lieutenant Dan is raging against God during the storm on the boat, right? I've had a few moments where I've shook my fist at God and in the middle of a storm kind of a thing. I don't know. Is there any God stuff that happens out in the middle of the ocean for you?
Oh, God stuff happens every day. Whether it's an amazing storm and you come through it and, you know, everybody's safe to suddenly it's been, you know, just incorrigible weather and it's sucked and miserable and suddenly he gives you a reprieve. So, you know, suddenly there's a pot of whales going by or you know, God's creations are happening around all the time. You know, it's freaking awesome out there. You know, I'm fortunate enough. Sure, it's crazy and a lot of people don't want to do it, but I don't want to do a lot of people's jobs. You know, it's one of those things that I get to see things that most people don't ever get to see in their lives. And I really appreciate that about the opportunity and the job that I do.
Yeah, I think more of us, what do you call us, landlubbers, us little sucky pants that stay on shore.
That's correct, Drew.
What's that? What'd he say?
Oh, that was my best pirate voice. I said, yar, that is correct, Drew. You landlubbers.
Yes. Yes, us little daisy pants over here. You know, especially the God people, you know, and whinging about this and whinging about that and where is God. Like, I'm like that, okay? I'm really having a tough time with my spiritual life. But if I can imagine being face-to-face with God's creation the way you are and face-to-face with the fact that you could die at any moment, I think that would awaken a bit of stuff in me spiritually. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, it's one of those things that I've seen death in front of me and you know, it's happened on several occasions in my job and, you know, you lose friends and I guess it kind of gives, for me, yeah, I'm comfortable with it. I've been close to it and I know that, you know, when it's my time, I'm going to the right place. And so I don't worry about it. You know, you look at crazy things every day and, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to run from it or you want to headbutt it and see another day? Well, the, you know, mentality of us out of the boat, we're going to headbutt another day. And yeah, I love it. It's the best job in the world. It's been I took a semester off of college 14 years ago and never looked back.
Well done. Well done. On the phone with Travis Laughlin. He is our very special guest today and privileged to have him. He's a deckhand on Discovery Channel's Deadliest Catch. And he's just released his killer cookbook called Catch, Dangerous Tales and Manly Recipes from the Bering Sea. Toughest thing you guys have gone through has got to be the death of your skip, right?
Yeah, when Captain Phil passed, that was hard on everybody. You know, he was a great guy, a lovable guy, and a heck of a man. He was loved by many. He had a big heart. He had a heart of gold, and that was definitely tough to watch. You know, when his son Josh is a really good friend of mine. He's fished with us on the Time Bandit this year, and you know, it's kind of funny. You know, most of us, it is tragic, but Josh will sit there and put on the reruns and be like, you know, this is the last conversation I had with my dad. And it makes me want to cry. And, you know, for him, it's, you know, he gets to relive those moments that, you know, he can never have back. So I guess that's kind of an advantage, but no, Phil was a heck of a guy.
And who made the call to keep the cameras rolling on that one?
Phil made the call. He said every story has to have an ending.
Yeah.
You know, and for us out fishing, we kept hearing him getting better and better and better. And then we heard that story and, we're, you know, it kind of made our hearts fall. And then we found out that he passed. And it was tragic because he was, you know, we're kind of, I guess we take it for granted in the job that we do that we like to think that we're a little larger than life. And, you know, we risk life and limb every day. And, you know, when a really good friend and somebody you really respect and you know, a good man passes like that, it's just tragic, you know, just like with anybody's family. But, you know, Discovery and Original Productions have done such a great job into bringing us to the homes of millions that, you know, it really was very emotional. It was hard.
You know, I had a meeting with Discovery down in their offices in L.A. a couple of weeks ago, and they just seem like an incredible organization. They really, you know, at least the two guys I met, it was finally nice to meet a couple of guys. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, everybody is very down to earth. you know, the shooters, those guys, they're living an adventurous lifestyle. They've never been on boats, and suddenly they're, you know, they want to go out and shoot with us. And, you know, it's a really big family inside production between Discovery and Original. And, you know, sure, business is business, but at the end of the day, we're all just people. And it's, you know, really good people, you know, with Discovery Channel. They wanted to get involved with the cookbook, and they've been more than helpful with that. And, you know, it's just a really, it's a fun family to be involved with.
Okay, let's talk about a couple of the recipes, and then we'll let you go, man. Travis, I don't know, this probably isn't the right term, but we up here, I think I've heard it called beer butt chicken. Is that a legit deal?
Yeah, Roger. The first time, well, I tell a story in the book about the first time I tried it at sea, and I was fishing on the Wizard, and it tipped over, and all the chicken fat and olive oil made a rancid smoke in the galley, and suddenly Keith gets over the hailers, we're hauling gear, he's like, hey, Trav, I think your dinner's going nuclear. And, of course, it was funny. All the guys run in and they're snapping pictures with fire axes and Spanish is taking the deal, and we all ate well. But, no, that's a legitimate recipe on the boat. I got a little secret now to, you know, how to do it without it tipping over.
Yeah, like, well, on the boat? Like a secret, like to keep it upright on the boat? Yeah, because seriously, some of those waves? Holy.
Letting the cat out of the bag. But, no, I take aluminum foil balls now and I prop it up. So that way, instead of like on a barbecue, it's got your little the little ring you set the chicken on. And put your beer can in it, and obviously on the crab boat, I just use a 7-Up because we don't have beer, but same effect. It just moistens the bird from the inside out as you cook it, and then I put the aluminum foil balls in there so it doesn't tip over.
Okay, so I'm sure you get asked this all the time, but can you pick a favorite out of this book, yours?
Absolutely. My roasted red pepper crab bisque with cilantro cream. That was one that I came up with myself that I was pretty proud of.
Oh, okay, listen, this is the wrong time to have this interview. We could eat the butt out of a dead rhinoceros. We're so hungry right now. So can you lay that one out a little bit? I mean, it tantalizes. You know, we're trying to hook people to buy this book, so make us buy it, man.
It's actually the most time-consuming thing is making your puree. And if you got a soup stick or a soup wand, it makes it that much easier. But you just roast your peppers. I like to throw yellow, red, and orange bell peppers, a couple of ears of corn. A couple tomatoes, you know, do a seafood stock, you know, just throw your onions, celery, and carrots in there. Throw your crab shells, make your seafood stock. Take a little bit of half and half. Take all your vegetables and you roast them, pull the skin off, pull the seeds out, and then you just make a puree with half and half. Add your seafood stock, bring it up to temp. Throw your crab meat in there, and then the cilantro cream is real simple. It's just a bundle of cilantro, half a jalapeno to a jalapeno seeded, depending on how spicy you like it. Cilantro lime juice, and you puree it. And put a dollop of that, put your crab meat in it once everything's up to temperature, because you don't want to overcook it, it's already been cooked, so you just shuck it and warm it up, put a dollop in that, it makes your tongue slap a smile on your face.
You hang out with Charlie Daniels every once in a while?
Oh my gosh, I got on for the last 4 years, I've been to a charity event in Tampa, Florida with Charlie. It's called Charlie Palooza, and it's for folks with cerebral palsy. And his Angelus Foundation. And last year I was up on stage standing, well, Confederate Railroad and Little Texas were on stage as well, plus all the musicians. And then they brought up all the Deadliest Catch guys. It was me and Edgar and J.K. Anderson and Monty Colburn and Mike Fortner. And so we're up there, we're all dancing a jig, and Charlie goes into a gospel song, and then he goes into The Devil Went Down to Georgia. And so I sneak up, and I'm Guy Sinclair, the original animator for the Muppets, is also a musician. And then Danny, the lead singer from Confederate Railroad, I just try to chime in between them and sing Chicken in the Head House, Picking Out Dough.
Yeah.
And I bumped Danny on the forehead. I was like, I'm so sorry. He grabbed me in the small of the back, pulled me in between of them. And now Charlie's getting off on his fiddle 8 feet away, and I'm singing Chicken in the Head House, Picking Out Dough. That was a bucket list moment. He's a very genuine, down-to-earth, awesome.
That's fantastic. Well, buddy, you know what? We've had him on our show before, and he really is a genuine cat, isn't he?
Oh, he definitely is. You know, we got done with that, and Mike and I went up, and we just, you know, thanked him sincerely, and he's such a down-to-earth gentleman, and he's a great, great guy with a big heart.
Okay, listen, let's go with this one, man. How many tats do you have? What's your favorite?
Let's see. I've kind of got my own totem going, but my favorite, I guess, is I've got a phoenix over a dream catcher. The phoenix is a sign of power rising out of the ashes, and a dream catcher captures your dream. So on my back tattoo, it's a phoenix over that. It means power over your dreams. And then from there, it goes down my left arm to a story all done in Polynesian tribal. You know, I've got the haematau, which is the fish hook, which means safety and prosperity at sea. And then I've got the sails for life's journey and hammerhead shark eyes for my family. And yeah, it's all one totem. It's kind of a story as I go.
That's phenomenal, phenomenal. Listen, you are one interesting fellow, Travis, and I appreciate what you do. Good luck with the next season of this show, and good luck with this book. It is a killer little cookbook to have, especially for all you men out there. I can't remember the last time I saw a real, you know, a real man's cookbook. So good for you, man.
Hey, Drew, thank you very much, and thanks for letting me talk to your listeners today, and it's been a lot of fun, and, you know, the project has been a blast. You know, that's the whole fun thing about life, is this is just another little hitch in my giddy-up that I got to go have fun with.
Nice. Love it. Travis Laughlin, deckhand on Discovery Channel's Deadliest Catch, and this cookbook called Catch, Dangerous Tales and Manly Recipes from the Bering Sea. Travis, appreciate your time, man.
Drew, thank you so much, and aloha.
All right, later, dude. Bye-bye. Oh, man. Well, let's go out with a little Charlie Daniels, shall we?
You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Hey, everyone, this is Drew Marshall. Look, every August we end our season by replaying some of the best interviews of the year. Our regular advertising partners love it because our listenership goes through the roof. Well, this August, we're offering a special advertising deal for everyone. Imagine your commercial being played in between celebrity interviews with the likes of recording artist Sinead O'Connor, or Dr. Quinn medicine woman Jane Seymour, or soap opera star Michael Damian, or DJ from the hit TV show Full House, or co-star of The View Sherry Shepherd, or Juno Award winner Bruce Coburn. Man, we've got so many to choose from. So here's the deal. We'll offer you 6 weeks of advertising. That's 4 30-second spots per show, a total of 24 commercials, which we'll produce, and an advertisement on our website, all of which would typically go for about $1,200. But you get it for only $6.95 plus tax. That's about a 40% savings. And then, of course, don't forget to take off an additional 10% for our 10-year anniversary special. So become an August advertising partner with The Drew Marshall Show today. 6 weeks worth of commercials and your advertisement on our website for only $6.95 plus tax. Then take an additional 10% off for our 10-year anniversary special. You'd better get on this soon because this offer ends July 28th or when the limited number of spots fill up. Call 905-845-2821. That's 905-845-2821. 905-845-2821, extension 367. Or, of course, contact us at drewmarshall.ca.